Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Today, we're going to be going over Micah Parsons, and I graded every play from Micah Parsons' 2024 season. I'm going to get through all of my takeaways, give you my grade for Micah this past year, and how that kind of fits in with the rest of the team. I'm really excited to bring that to you. But before we get there, it's not just any Thursday. For the last 7 months, we've been talking football without there actually being NFL football. Tonight, we are so back. It is the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys kicking us off on Thursday Night Football. We've been waiting for this one. There's no two ways around it. We'll have to wait a little bit longer for Packers-Lions. That's okay. It's just so great to have NFL football back. And as I said, we've got you covered 365 days a year, regardless of what's going on. And of course, covering all things Green Bay Packers. If you haven't subscribed yet, make sure to do so. Like, comment, give those five-star reviews. That helps the channel a ton. And of course, check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships as well. Great time to sign up. Members only Q&A, Aaron Nagler once a week, Ross Uglum content. There's going to be a ton of stuff going on. So there's never been a better time to become a Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, which apparently many of you agree because we've got a ton of new members today. Jordan Moran, Caleb Adelmayer, Nick Roos, Marcus, Eric Wall, Patrick Jones, Justin D, Eric Scott, John Peterson, Alexander Spildy, Mason, Matthew Lutz, Pips J, PB Dez 1992, Richard, Jonas Penton, Wyatt Patrick, no, this is Patrick, Chris Jones, Jim Elliott, Zero, and David Reed. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. Again, check those memberships out if you have not done so already. All right, let's get into our Packers-Lions injury report, the very first injury report of the season. For the Packers, two players did not practice, Nate Hobbs and Jaden Reed. Sounded like for Jaden Reed, this was kind of part of the process, and we'll see if he practices the rest of the week. Hopefully he can, and more importantly, hopefully he can go and actually play this upcoming week. I say that, but I want what's best for the long term of Jaden Reed here. If there's risk of re-injury or if this is going to be something that just lingers, then maybe it's better to sit him down. I don't know if Green Bay's maybe playing the gambit here of, hey, can we get these first 4 weeks out of Jaden Reed, then maybe slow him up as we get Christian Watson back. I don't know what the dynamic is there. But I just hope that Jaden does not have to suffer through the entire season with this foot injury and just not being at 100%. But we'll keep an eye on that injury. And then Nate Hobbs seemed to be ramping up at practice. What that means for his status this week still seems very much in the air. You would prefer he would be actually practicing rather than sort of ramping up to practice. But we'll see if he can get out there Thursday or Friday and get an actual legitimate chance to play this week. If not, I would expect we're going to see a lot of Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon on the outside with Javon Bullard in the slot. I'll be very curious in obvious passing situations if Bullard is still out there or if you bring in another corner. And if you bring in another corner, is that Bo Melton? Is that Kamal Haddon? If it's Bo, are you putting Bo in the slot? Are you putting Bo outside and Nixon in the slot? Are you putting Haddon outside and Nixon in the slot? There's a lot of interesting questions that are going to be posed if Nate Hobbs cannot play in this game. But I would expect Valentine, Nixon, and I think Bullard to play the vast majority of the game at those three specific cornerback spots. All right, in addition, limited were Zane Anderson, Elgton Jenkins, Micah Parsons, Baron Sorrell, Dontavian Wicks, and Savion Williams. Let me just say that still feels weird to say as we're going through an injury report and just like in the middle. Oh yeah, by the way, Micah Parsons limited. Still feels insane and absurd to say that, you know, he's on this team in general. But Zane Anderson, Elgton Jenkins, Micah Parsons, Baron Sorrell, Dontavian Wicks, and Savion Williams all were limited in some capacity. The big news here, well, there's a couple things. One, Micah is still practicing. That's a great sign. And number two, Elgton Jenkins returned to practice as well. He was limited and he's going to have to make it through the week and be ready to go. But this is still a good sign nonetheless. And an even better sign is that the lone full participant for Green Bay was the quarterback, Jordan Love, who stated that there's going to be no issues. He'll be able to hand off like normal, take snaps like normal. So it seems like that left hand injury or thumb injury is healing the way that it's supposed to. And there's going to be no lingering effects for how that will affect him come this Sunday against Detroit. Speaking of Detroit, two players did not practice, Trevor Nowosaki and Sione Vakai. Also limited were Kaiode Awasaka. You had to give me the toughest names, Detroit. Thanks a lot. And Isaac Tesla as well. So you can be a lot of vowels bought in the Detroit Lions injury report, to say the least. But those are your four injuries for Detroit. Again, two did not participate and two limited. Isaac Tesla, the big one in that group, was just an illness, not an actual injury. I would assume that he'll be back ready to go in time for Sunday's game against Green Bay. All right. That's it for the injury report. We'll keep a much closer eye on it as we get closer and actually get the injury designations, questionable, doubtful, out, etc. But for now, that's all we know, and we'll kind of keep an eye on it from here. But let's get into our main topic for today, and that is Micah Parsons. And more specifically, I went through and I graded every single Micah Parsons play from this past season, just like I did with all the other free agents and I've done for every Packer for how many years now, but this was a fun one to go through. Before I give you the grade, I want to give you a little bit of a refresh from where we were at the end of last year. Last year's top three defensive grades were Xavier McKinney at plus 6.6. So just remember, like, Xavier McKinney had a pretty epic season last year. He was at plus 6.6. Edgerrin Cooper, who missed part of the year, plus 4.75. And Rashawn Gary, plus 2.10. If you're not familiar with the grading system, the numbers, it doesn't really matter. Xavier McKinney, you can tell, 6.6, very, very good, right? 4.75 for Edgerrin Cooper, 2.1 for Rashawn Gary. If you look at just the defensive ends, I will say I probably grade defensive ends very hard, just like based on what they're expected to do on a down-to-down basis. Rashawn Gary was first at plus 2.10. Brenton Cox was second, negative 0.1. LVN, negative 0.4. Aaron Mosby, negative 1.05. Kingsley Enagbare, negative 1.85, and Preston Smith, negative 2.05. The defensive end room in totality had a negative 3.35 grade. If you take Rashawn Gary out, who had a plus 2.10 grade, the rest of them had a negative 5.45 grade. That is not great, to say the least. Meanwhile, the player that they traded away, Kenny Clark, this past year, who we know had the injury, okay, had a negative 0.1 grade, by far and away the worst grade he's ever had. I started grading him as, I think his rookie season was when I started grading everything. He's been plus 5 or better every single year of his career. He's never been remotely close to a negative. Last year he did. So when you're talking about replacing year over year Kenny Clark with whatever it is on the interior, just remember Kenny had a down year last year in large part due to injury. I would have expected Kenny to play much better this year, but as you look at it from 2024 to 2025, you're not losing a ton from Kenny Clark's 2024 production. One sack per PFF and a negative 0.1 grade. I think PFF had him right in that. I think they had a slightly above average grade on him, but overall, not the usual Kenny Clark that we are used to. So just when you're thinking of, all right, well, what did it cost you? Last year, Kenny Clark, which was not going to be 2025 Kenny Clark, but last year's Kenny Clark was not the one that we were specifically used to. All right, without further ado, the grade for Micah Parsons in 13 games, plus 8.55. So just a reminder, Xavier McKinney, who was an all-pro, I think, if I remember correctly, if he wasn't, he certainly should have been. I think he was. Xavier McKinney, plus 6.60. Micah Parsons, plus 8.55. And remember, he only played in 13 games. All right, so he had five fewer games than what Xavier McKinney had. Here were the grades per game: plus 1.20, plus 0.45, 0.35, plus 0.8, plus 0.9, plus 0.4, plus 0.55, plus 1.25, plus 0.75, plus 0.5, plus 0.5, plus 0.05, plus 0.85. Notice he never had a negative game. PFF graded one negative game. It was the one that I gave the plus 0.05, the second Philadelphia Eagles game. I had him at just about a neutral and a very, very, very slight positive. That was the one game that PFF gave him a negative on, or below 60, which is their average grade. I had him in the positive in every single game. That one was the only close one. And that, again, just tells you, or begins to tell you, how much of an impact player that Micah Parsons is. Furthermore, the Packers' entire defense, which graded as a top 10 defense last year by pretty much every measure and every account, right? The entire defense was a plus 9.7. Micah Parsons in 13 games was a plus 8.55. You're basically doubling your good plays by adding Micah Parsons to your team. That is a remarkable number and what you're adding to this group. I'll take it even a step further. All right. The difference between Micah Parsons at plus 8.55 and three players, Preston Smith, who is gone, Aaron Mosby, who's on the practice squad, and let's just say Brenton Cox, right? Like Brenton Cox is still going to get playing time, I think, here and there, but he is at best the number five defensive end right now, competing with Baron Sorrell for that spot. So he may not see much playing time. So Smith, Mosby, and Cox combined had a negative 3.20 grade. So the difference between that negative 3.2 and the 8.55 grade of Micah Parsons that you're basically going to be supplanting in those almost same amount of snaps, Parsons will get a little bit more, but the difference there is plus 11.75. It's insane, the difference that you are getting by adding Micah to that defense. So you are getting a big time performer that is going to have a huge net positive on your defense and consistently finds ways to be disruptive, make plays, cause chaos, and be an impact player for your defense. And I'll just add one thing on top of this. That grade, the plus 8.55, I will tell you wholeheartedly, is not indicative of the impact that he makes. So for example, we're going to talk about some of the double teams and the triple teams and things like that that Micah goes through. If you get like double teamed or triple teamed and you go up to the line as a defender, I'm not just talking about Micah Parsons here, and you get to that first defender, you can't really do much, but there's two guys that are basically holding you up at the point of attack. You didn't make it past the line of scrimmage. You're not getting a positive grade for that. You didn't do anything to earn a positive on that. You didn't do anything certainly to earn a negative. You got a double or a triple team. You're eating two to three blockers on that play. That's all you can ask that player to do. So sometimes it doesn't amount to a positive or a net positive on the play, but the amount of time, effort, and energy and resources that opposing offenses are putting into Micah Parsons is remarkable. The job that they do to work around him, to double team him at times, triple team him at times, there is so much thought and emphasis that goes into slowing him down and making sure that he doesn't take over the game, that it changes the offense in a real and significant way. And so it's not just the box score. It's not just even the grades that we're looking at. He has an impact far beyond. It's just the presence of him on the field changes things for an opposing offense. It speeds them up. It creates situations where you're double or again, even triple teaming Micah Parsons, which opens things up for other players. It's just a real game changer on defense where the plus 8.55 grade doesn't even really begin to totally do it justice. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Listen, you and I make decisions every single day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. With the addition of Micah Parsons, I have never been more hyped for football season. And not only should it be an epic season for Green Bay, but I'm looking forward to an even more epic season on Prize Picks. You better believe that I'm expecting a Micah Parsons sack right away against Detroit in week one. And I'll be keeping a very close eye on some other players this week as well, including Ja'Marr Chase, Baker Mayfield, and the newly engaged Travis Kelce. Now listen, Prize Picks is simple. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. One of the reasons I enjoy Prize Picks so much is their flex play feature, which means you can still cash on your lineup even if it isn't perfect. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. What's going on, everybody? We finally made it to football season, and that means it's grilling season as well. There's nothing like a lineup of delicious burgers and steaks to enhance your game day experience. That's why this year I did not mess around, and I went right to Omaha Steaks for their amazingly tender meat for this upcoming weekend. I am legitimately drooling over them already. I've had Omaha Steaks on numerous occasions, and there's nothing better to throw on the grill than their USDA-certified tender steaks that are melt-in-your-mouth delicious. And the best part is they are currently having a huge sale, so you can save site-wide on omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an additional $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. Trust me, take them up on this offer, use the code, and get some of their grass-fed, grain-finished beef, and just wait until you see the marbling on these things. You are going to be blown away. So get fired up for fall grilling with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code PACKADAY at checkout. That's an extra $35 off with promo code PACKADAY at checkout. See site for details. So one of the first things I kind of wanted to look at then is Micah Parsons worth it? After going through and grading every player on every play, is it worth two first-round picks, Kenny Clark, a massive contract? The ultimate answer, of course, is that it's TBD. We're going to have to wait and see to see how this plays out. How great Micah is, or is he not? How great this team is, or are they not? You need, in a way, both individual and team success to come out of this. If you don't get one of those things, it probably will be viewed as a failure in some way, shape, or form. But to me, I love the home run swing. It was the right player at the right time for the right reasons. It was a perfect storm to make this happen. And to me, as I've said before, and I'm doubling down on it now that I've seen every play, you make this deal 100 times out of 100, and then you go from here. And we'll see what happens from here. And if it just doesn't work out, there are going to be consequences down the road. We will deal with that if that comes to fruition. But right now, to me, this absolutely was a trade that they should have taken, and it absolutely was worth it for the high-end upside here. I will give you, though, one reason why I am a little bit concerned about it after watching the tape, and then one reason why maybe that concern is invalid. I did start to see last year, and I think a lot of you probably saw it too, there was a real changeover in how teams handled defensive ends. We've talked about it here before, where you have your five offensive linemen, you've got your two defensive ends, and really one on each side. You know, you're usually getting a chip from a tight end on one side, maybe a chip from the running back on the other side, and then those players are going into the flat as checkdowns, or maybe over the middle as checkdown options. It's kind of a three-man route with then two players helping on the defensive ends and then going out into a checkdown route. So with that sort of in mind, we saw defensive ends really have a much tougher time this past year because you're just not getting the one-on-one matchups. Even for like just not even the Micah Parsons caliber players, it's just harder to see one-on-one matchups because teams are chipping and helping out with those running backs and tight ends to make things a lot more difficult for the defensive ends. So just kind of watching it too, there was a lot of things that teams did to kind of take Micah out of the game at times. Now, the big thing here is that it takes a level of effort and game planning. And the maybe more important thing is you just can't run your normal game plan because Micah's out there. You have to put together this sort of gimmicked, hot-wired version of the offense because there's certain stuff that you just can't run because the Packers have Micah Parsons out there. In the case of last year, the Cowboys had Micah Parsons out there. So I do think that, yes, there is a little bit of a lessened upside to some of the defensive ends in the league right now because of teams and how they're going about attacking those players and making sure that they're not just getting one-on-ones. But the reason why I will counteract that and counterbalance it and say I'm not worried about it is because Micah is so versatile and Jeff Hafley is a very smart defensive coordinator. We'll talk about that more momentarily, but the fact that you can line him up everywhere and do some really unique things with him, he doesn't have to just be on the edge. It doesn't have to just be left defensive end or right defensive end, and then they're going and chipping from the sides. He could be lined up anywhere at any moment for any reason at any point in time, and Jeff Hafley can unleash him in a variety of different ways. We've talked about it earlier this week in all the different ways, but it's not just, hey, we got to put him at defensive end, and now he's going to get chipped, and now it takes him out of the play, right? You can move him around and really put him in advantageous positions to your defense. So that's why I'm a little bit less concerned about the concern that I just brought up. All right. So yes, answer here is I do think he's worth it. So then I wanted to go through like, all right, what's the best case scenario? What's the likely scenario? And what's the worst case scenario? The best case scenario after watching Parsons is that he is defensive player of the year and maybe even Super Bowl MVP on top of it. That's probably the best case scenario. The likely scenario for me is that he is a top five pass rusher who immediately makes an instant and big impact on this defense. I think that is at minimum what we're probably going to get here. I think that is the most likely sort of impact that you're going to get from Micah Parsons. I think the worst case scenario obviously would be if the injuries limit him in some real way, or if he's just maybe really, really good, but not like first team all pro super stud. That would be a little bit disappointing as well. But to me, that's the worst case scenario. Either, again, some level of injury, or it just he's really, really good, but maybe not quite epic or amazing, or maybe even the level of greatness. That would be the worst case scenario. You're still getting a really, really, really good player. There's no huge, massive downside, again, unless there were to be some lingering injury issues from the back or just anything else that would pop up over the course of the season. All right. With that being said, would have done the trade. Graded out extremely well. Best case scenario is hopefully an all-pro season defensive player of the year, Super Bowl champion, MVP, etc. What did I learn from watching the tape? What stood out to me after watching every single play? What I want to be very clear on here is you guys know Micah already, right? Like, you know what he's capable of. You know all of the high-end traits. You know why Green Bay acquired him. I'm not going to try to go over the basic stuff that you guys already know. There's a couple things that I'm going to point out and just add maybe an emphasis to it, but I'm not going over the stuff that we all know about Mike already. You guys have been junkies on this stuff. We've talked about it. Like, you know what Micah brings to the table. So here's the things that I learned by going through this deep dive. There's 12 of them. I'm going to go through them relatively quick here. Number one, the run defense is more than fine. And I mean more than fine. There is at no point that I watched any of his, full menu of snaps that I ever thought, wow, all right, they're going to have to really scheme around him as a run defender. Not a single time, not a single time. And I'm not saying that he didn't have bad reps as a run defender. It happens from time to time, of course, but he showed he could hold up against double teams. He showed he could knife into the backfield. He held up one-on-one and set the edge extremely well. You can use him as a off-ball linebacker in some of those scenarios. He's a good run defender, and you're going to get some real tackles for loss, and he's going to make some impact plays there too. And teams a lot of times ran away from him. They didn't want to run at him. You could tell. They ran away from him at times. So now I have no concerns with him as a run defender. Will there be a play here or there? Sure. There's a play here or there for just about everyone, but I have no long-term or even remote concerns about Micah's run defense at this point in time. I talked about number two here. I talked about this double and triple teams, right? I've seen double teams. I've seen some triple teams. I'm not sure I've ever seen a player get quadruple teamed. And that's what happened to Micah. And there were so many plays where he was triple teamed and double teamed. But on one particular play, offensive tackle starts out, gets both hands on him, kind of pushes him in one direction. Then he gets the tight end. Then he gets a chip from a back. Then a guard comes out and takes him as well. Four different players that all had hands on him. Both hands, by the way, not just like a cursory, like little like push or anything like that. All four of them got hands on Micah Parsons on that particular play. Like quadruple teams. I said a little bit earlier, but the box score and the grades, and you have to go and watch the film to really understand how teams schemed to make sure that Micah did not try to beat them. And number one, that's going to open up things for other players, but B, that takes a lot of time, effort, and energy through the course of the week to put together additional game plans and how you're going to scheme it up and how you get everyone on your offense on the same page to know exactly what you're going to do to mitigate that. There's just a lot that goes into that. So don't take that for granted. He gets a lot of attention, and I mean a lot of attention. Number three is one you know, but I want to emphasize it. The change of direction and the speed. There's a play on a Jalen Hurts bootleg, and Parsons crashes down as a defensive end, and Hurts comes out the other side. And Hurts is fast, right? Like, he's a fast quarterback. And Parsons on a dime changes directions and turns around and chases him down. Now, you know, Hurts is able to throw the ball out at the very last moment, but like the pure change of direction there is like elite offensive weapon worthy, like wide receiver, running back worthy, like just changing on a dime and then the burst and acceleration to close to the quarterback who had some time to get out there already because of the fake. And then Parsons has got to change direction, bursts to the quarterback and makes him throw the ball away. That was an impressive one. There's another one. I think it was Jaden Daniels, where Daniels kind of escapes the pocket and like checks his shoulder to see where Micah is. And Micah is just closing down on him. And again, Jaden is extremely fast. And Micah just gains on him. And eventually, I think he forced a throwaway there too, or maybe got him to the ground. I forget what it was, but literally chased him down from behind. It was, again, another remarkable play there. There was a end around that went to Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers, unbelievably fast wide receiver. And it's an end around. And Micah Parsons runs with him almost step for step to get to the sideline to make sure that he can't get that corner around Micah. I mean, just ridiculous change of direction, bursts, acceleration. All the traits are real. They're legitimate. They're fantastic. And don't take them for granted. They all show up on tape on numerous occasions. We'll be right back. Hey, everyone. I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. Number four is he makes really good players really work. I saw him go right through Joel Bitonio, one of the better right guards. I saw him work in previous seasons, Penei Sewell over and make Penei Sewell really work for it. Like players that you have known as really good offensive linemen go up against him and have to work their butt off. I mean, even the Eagles tackles of Mailata and Lane Johnson, like those two are working against Micah. Like they have to put in a big time shift. Tristan Wirfs, like all of these guys, they got their wins against Micah as well because they're really good players, but he takes some really great players and makes them look very silly at times. And if you have a really bad player, like Evan Neal versus Micah Parsons was just an unfair fight. Evan Neal had no chance. I mean, just absolutely no chance. Number five. Read options and misdirection does give him a little bit of trouble. If you remember like the read option stuff where Gary would come crashing down and then the quarterback would keep on the outside and there'd be acres of space. Micah's got a little bit of an issue with that as well. And then some of the misdirection stuff, he will get kind of caught taking that step inside. Now, as I mentioned, he has the ability to change directions and the ridiculous speed to catch up with some of that stuff. But you would like to see him just be a little bit more assignment sure and be aware of some of that misdirection and some of the, whether it's play action, bootleg, fake jet sweeps, some of that stuff just gave him a little bit more trouble. And that's, the teams are going to give him all the eye candy, right? To try to make him uncomfortable and not just use that raw speed. If he's paused thinking, it's advantage offense. So you just want to see him coming downhill, but you still have to make sure that you're remembering your keys and your assignments and making sure that somebody's not getting or just outflanking you because you were a little bit over aggressive trying to get to the quarterback or trying to buy a run inside. All right, next thing, false starts. This was an interesting journey. Parsons had a lot of false starts. He had, I want to say probably like six or seven, probably six would be my guess. I didn't look it up, but it was at least six that he jumped off sides and gave teams either free plays or a free 5 yards. That's something he needs to clean up a little bit. There was at least five offensive linemen that were lined up right across from Micah that also jumped off sides. I don't know if it has anything to do with Micah or not, but it probably doesn't help that Micah's across from you. It just makes you a little bit more jumpy. You want to get out of that stance a little bit quicker. So I don't know if we can say force, but the player across from him had about four or five false starts. He had about five or six false starts / neutral zone infractions. I would like to see him clean that up a little bit, but that was something that definitely stood out on tape a little bit as well. The next thing I'll say is team's quick passing attacks really did him no favors. Like there were so many times, and I mean so many times, where he was this close. And I mean, I'm not talking about like a 5 or 10 second developing play here. I'm talking about he wins immediately. And I mean, immediately gets into the backfield, is ready to annihilate the quarterback, and sometimes still was able to, but the quarterback just gets the ball out of his hands using the quick passing game. That's definitely been a little bit of a game changer, of course, as teams go to that a little bit more. But for me, if some of these quarterbacks just hold the ball a quarter second longer, he's obliterating them. We're probably not only getting sacks, but sack fumbles as well. Now, hopefully with maybe Caleb Williams, there's some time to throw issues and some JJ McCarthy in his first year as a starter. Maybe Green Bay can take advantage of that a little bit and get some of those big plays from Micah Parsons. The next thing, I thought there was a real lack of imagination from Dallas's defense. I thought they could have used Micah in so many more fun and different ways. And we'll talk about that a little bit more from what Green Bay can do. But I thought it was boring and vanilla way too often. You've got one of the more unique playmaking defenders in the league. I just thought they could have done a little bit more with him. You saw him lined up in different spots. You saw him play linebacker a little bit from time to time. I just didn't think like some of the double A gap stuff they worked in as much. I was surprised. It lacked imagination and creativity. I expected better when you have Micah Parsons, and I think you will get better, spoiler alert, in Green Bay. Next thing I want to say is there were a lot of times with Micah, and let's just say this, the Cowboys team was really bad. They were really, really bad. It was a bad team last year. And because of that, the Cowboys didn't spend a ton of time from ahead. And that limits a pass rusher. In order to be a big-time pass rusher, you need some situations where you're playing from ahead and the other team is in some obvious passing situations. And Cowboys just didn't get a ton of those this past year. If Green Bay and their offense can click and you have, you know, the lead in the games and the other team has to get into throw mode, I think you could see Micah take off even a little bit more this year just based on some of those more advantageous situations. He will run himself out of plays. So coming off the edge, he likes to be a speed rusher a lot. And you will see him come around the edge and the tackle will just kind of work him around the bend and the quarterback will step up and he's completely out of the play at that point. So that's something that I think he can improve upon a little bit. I don't mind him trying that speed rush. And if it is a speed rush and you're trying to get the bend around the edge to get to the quarterback, if it doesn't work, you are going to be kind of pushed past it. So I don't mind him taking the chance from now on, you know, every now and again. But I think he can get a little bit more nuanced and a little bit more choosy when he's in some of those situations as to when to use it and not just, again, go flying past the quarterback 5 yards behind him. That doesn't do anybody any good when you're back in that spot. Number 11, I think he's more than capable in his coverage drops. So if you do want to drop him into coverage, he looked good doing it every single time he was asked to do it. And last but not least, number 12, Jeff Hafley is going to make his life a whole heck of a lot easier. He's going to get him more schemed up looks and twists and stunts and double A gap stuff. It shouldn't just have to be on Micah beating double and triple teams to get to the quarterback. I bet Jeff Hafley is going to be very unique in the way that he utilizes Parsons, gets him into advantageous positions, and hopefully allows Micah just to go big game hunting and hopefully have a massive season for Green Bay. So just to recap it, run defense is more than fine. Double, triple, quadruple teams that were all focused on Micah Parsons. Change of direction and speed is insane. Makes good players really work, meaning opposing offensive linemen. The read options and the misdirections give him a little bit of trouble. He has too many false starts, but he also causes some, I think, from being across from some offensive linemen. The quick passing game has done him no favors. Lack of imagination from the Dallas defense. Lots of times where they were losing and just playing bad football in totality in Dallas, which, again, does not help you as a pass rusher. I think he's more than capable of coverage drops. He runs himself out of plays a little bit. And then, of course, Jeff Hafley is going to make his life a whole heck of a lot easier. My final thought, my prediction for tonight's game, I think Eagles win easy in this one. They win easy by, I'm going to say, 34-17 Philadelphia. Eagles pick up a big win and a not close one in the end. Dallas comes out 17 points losing this one. That's where I'm at. All right. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ritaka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, and Dan Miller. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.